you got to think about it this way. The Bible says, even a cup of cold water that's given in my name, you will not lose your reward. So God is saying, if you gave a Dixie cup of water in my name, I'll redeem it. You got to believe that. But what if I don't see it? Well, God has a much bigger picture, because your plan B could be his plan A. And when you're at the lowest of the valley, it could be where God is going to do his greatest work.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled, Our Plan B Might Be God's Plan A, where we learned that nothing catches God by surprise. The things we may have thought were a tragedy can be part of God's master plan. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Our Plan B Might Be God's Plan A.
Paul the Apostle, he could have seen prison as something horrible. In fact, he was chained to a praetorian guard. But instead, he switched it. And he didn't say, no, I'm not chained to a praetorian guard. That praetorian guard is chained to me. No, it's not that I cannot run away and escape from him. He can't run away or escape from me. And that's why it says the gospel was preached throughout the praetorian guard, because that guy couldn't leave. So Paul just started to share with him about Christ, the truth of God's word, and it began to spread throughout the praetorian guard. You see, the way you see something is very important. In fact, would you write in your notes, it's not the circumstance, but it's how you define it that'll make all the difference in the world. Oh, sometimes God takes us to a valley low, and if you define it as low, that's exactly what it'll be, because as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. If you see it as bad, guess what it is? If you see it as no good, that's exactly what it's going to be. But if you see it the way God sees it, the Redeemer begins to move and change everything behind the scenes. And you begin to trust God. As I said, on that gurney, I learned to trust God. Let's read what the scripture says right under that. Would you read it? Go. Most of the brethren, trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. See, if we will define it correctly, it'll actually give us courage. When Anna and I went to Hilo, I was 31 years old. And we had two kids in tow, about 2 years old and 3 years old. And we took a fledgling congregation of about 23 people and started our ministry of planting churches. Now, they could only offer us $500 a month. And so we found a house for $500 a month. And I bet that year they just thought this young family must have been so committed to the church and ministry, because every potluck we would show up with our kids. Every party, every gathering that had food, we would be there. And the first thing I'd say is, hallelujah. Kids, go eat, quick, quick. Hallelujah. Even other churches, when they had potluck, I would show up, praise the Lord. Go eat, quick, quick. Praise the Lord. But you know, during those days, God taught us how to pray hard. God taught us to be humble enough to ask for help. God taught us to be satisfied with little. I mean, we learn how to cook ramen 25 different ways. Because sometimes we go to KTA and that's all we could buy was 20 cents per packet. So we'd buy about $5 worth, and that would last us nearly the week. I remember once when we were praying, because we had nothing in our cupboards. And Anna and I prayed, God, we really need some groceries. And sure enough, I mean, within about 3 hours or so, our front door bell rang. And we went out there, and this is a true story. You can ask my wife. She's sitting right over here. And we went to answer the door, and no one was there. But there were three, I think, packages of groceries, full of groceries on our front porch. And I began to understand that I can trust the Lord. And you know, even though some people say, oh, poor you. No, no, no. Very few pastors have the privilege of starting that way and learning how to trust God and believe God and ask God and be humble enough to just ask, because you are desperate. You don't have a choice. To me, that was prep school. That was prep school for me. Speaking of God providing, I heard a story of this lady. She's very poor. She'd come out of her cottage, has a little front porch. She'd every morning breathe in the fresh air, and then she would say, "Thank you, Jesus, for providing for me today." The next morning, she'd take a deep breath. "Thank you, Jesus, for providing for me today." Well, next door to her lived an atheist, and the atheist was getting a little irate, and she'd say, "Shut up! There is no God! He ain't gonna provide for you!" And she'd look over, "Thank you, Jesus, for providing for me today!" Well, this lady got so upset, her next-door neighbor harassing her. Finally, she said, "You know what?" One day she said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trick her. I'm going to get something for her. And when she says that, I'm going to say, I provided it. There's no God." So she actually went out, bought a bag of groceries, put it on her porch, hid behind some bushes. And the lady came out, "Thank you, Jesus, for providing for me." "Whoa, you did. Thank you." Just then, the lady jumped out from behind the bushes. "Ha! I provided that for you. God didn't provide it for you. I did." And the lady stopped and she said, "Thank you, Jesus, for providing food for me today. And you even had the devil deliver it." Far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. So you say, "Wayne, what if things don't happen? You know, you're doing your best to trust and hear God and live your life in such a way that's worthy of the gospel, but you don't see any change for a month, for weeks. What do you do?" Because I sometimes get tired of trying to be a freedom fighter, you know, and fight for the truth. I was at a radio interview the other day, and the host said, "You know, Wayne, I feel that way because this stuff comes up every other year or so, and I'm just tired of fighting. I just get weary." And I said, "Yeah, you're like a fighter for the truth." She said, "Yeah." I said, "The Bible didn't ask us to be fighters for the truth." "Huh? No. No, because you see, if you're a truth boxer, you're going to get pummeled and you're going to have a black eye." But he didn't say to be a truth boxer. He said that we are to be a truth bearer or standard bearers of the truth, to hold it up. That's why the Bible says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice." It's in the truth. See, the Lord is saying, "I want you not to be a truth boxer, but a truth bearer. And you let the truth do its own work. Because if you try to fight for the truth, you're going to get weary. But if you just hold the truth up, the light, the people have to make a decision. When that light shines into their darkness, they're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to respond to the truth or reject the truth?" And regardless of what they do, that's between them and God. God's saying, "You let me shine the light and let them be responsible to make a decision with me." But you keep just holding that banner up. You see, our problem with the church is we sort of recede and we take the truth away because that way people won't bother us. The Lord says, "No, no, you don't fight for the truth. Just hold that thing up. Remember, you are the light of the world. You don't put a light under a peck measure or under a blanket, but you put it up high so that all will see." And in the midst of the battle, you just hold. Do you remember those six men on Iwo Jima? That fabulous picture of that photograph that when the bullets were whizzing by, they made sure that they kept that flag flying. And a photograph was taken of that. And that photograph went throughout the United States and inspired the people to end this protracted war, because they realized that that's what we were supposed to do, is freedom. And the Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will," not us. We're not freedom fighters. We're not boxing people saying, "You're going to hell. You're no good." No, 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 no. You just hold it up. Now, will people always respond? Well, not really. Not really. But you got to make sure that you let the truth do its own work. John 3:19 says this. It says, now this is the final verdict, that men love the darkness more than the light, for their deeds were evil. So even though we put the truth up, it's going to shine on what's going on, and people don't like it. But that's not between you and me. That's between you and the truth, you see. So I'm just going to keep holding the truth up. You make the decision. Well, take that light down. You know, I can't, because this is who I am. And I'm going to keep shining the light, because the Bible says that I am the light of the world. And so God's saying, just keep that light up so that men will see it. Because some people need to find their way home. And if we say, we'll just take this light down, what about the hundreds of thousands of people caught in sin that are looking for a way out, honestly? You lose them. Now, not everyone's going to respond, but a whole bunch will. Some time ago, I was fishing, night fishing in Hilo, out of the Hilo Bay towards La Pohoihoi, and we were done fishing like at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, just when it's starting to, you know, the sun is just starting to peep up around 5-ish. So we start going back into the bay, but the ocean is pitch black because there's no headlights on a boat. You know, there's just one little light, but no headlights. So the ocean around you is pitch black. I was going to say as black as molasses, but I better not say that. Yeah, no. So it was just pitch black. Pitch black. We couldn't see anything. But there's some buoys with lights on it. And so all we did was keep the boat towards that line of buoys, and it helped us track our way back into the bay. If those lights were out, we'd be on the rocks. I'm glad those lights didn't go out. And the same thing is true with us. We've got to hold our light high. Because there's people finding their way out of darkness. And if we get bullied enough and pull those down, what about all of those that were trying to find their way home and into port that'll end up on the rocks because we pulled our lights down because some people didn't like it? No, I'm going to let the light do its own work, and we're going to keep that up. Because people are trying to find their way home. Light. Does that mean we take the boats and bring them home? No, you just hold it up. I was at the dentist a month or so ago, and I was laying back there, and I guess the dental hygienist was new or wasn't watching, but they turned on that big old bright light, you know, and poof, that was in my eye. So I'm laying there, and they're doing stuff, and it's like, man, this thing is like, I'm getting a suntan on this thing. And so she looked, oh, sorry, and she put that thing back on my mouth, the light down there. And then the doctor came, and he has another light on his head. He looked like one of those deep sea fish with a light on his head. And he poked it in my mouth, and man, just the cavern of my mouth just woo, lit up. Why? Because the more light, the better, so the physician can do his work, right? If you take the light out, the physician can't do his work. But you've got that light there, and the more light, the better. So what? So I can do the work for him? No. So that what? So the physician can do the work. Now listen carefully. God is not asking you to do his work, but he's asking us to hold as much light up as possible so he can. And maybe one of the reasons why God doesn't do as much work as we'd like him to is because where's the light? Because churches have a tendency to recede, thinking, oh, people are bothered by the light. No, you hold that light up. Now, the light will do its own work. The great physician will work. But you've got to hold that light up. That's our banner. We're not truth boxers. We're truth bearers. But what if people don't respond? I'm going to get tired. No. The scripture says this. Would you read it with me? Go. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that too is from God. Now you notice he's saying, you conduct yourself in a manner worthy, or the same weight as the gospel should be seen in your life. Now don't be alarmed by your opponents, because you're going to have opponents. But you don't do the work of the light. You sinner, you're going to hell. No. Once we try to do the work of the great physician, the patients are in trouble. And we'll get black eyes. So you just hold the light for the great physician. You just hold the light. Now, will some people reject it vehemently? Absolutely. And with vitriol, they'll come at you. But sorry, you have to take it up with this one. Well, you just take your light down. You're showing up our deeds. You have to make a decision about your deeds. And that could be happening right now. In fact, a gay person came to me and said to me, "Why do you keep condemning me? Why do you hate me?" "Oh, I don't hate you at all. I'm just going to let you know what God says." "Well, that's it. Don't be telling me." I said, "You know, I'm just going to keep holding the light and the truth because you have to make a decision." And this is what the person said. "You think that me being gay is my biggest problem?" I said, "No, actually, being gay is not your biggest problem." "Huh? Yeah, that's not your biggest problem." "Really?" "No." "What is?" "Your unwillingness to admit that that lifestyle is not God's best." You see, the problem is, if you refuse to repent, then how can forgiveness happen? If you refuse the great physician, how can he do his work of healing? So your greatest problem isn't being gay. Your greatest problem is you refuse to repent and recognize that there may be a better best for me. But remember, with repentance cometh forgiveness. Without repentance, what are you going to do? That's your biggest problem. It's not your lifestyle. It's your heart. It's your heart. Because if it were your lifestyle, your heart would repent, and the great physician can do his work. We just hold the light. You see, the light is going to have to make people, it's going to force people to make a decision. Very defining moments in people's lives. But that's all right. You just keep holding that up. But what if people don't respond, Wayne? Then you have to remember, would you write it down in your last point? You got to believe that God will redeem all we do in His name. God will redeem it. If you're doing this in God's name, no, not in your own name, but in God's name, and just holding the light for the great physician because he wants to work his work in Hawaii, just hold that light up, the truth, and God will redeem it. You got to think about it this way. The Bible says, even a cup of cold water that's given in my name, you will not lose your reward. So God is saying, if you gave a Dixie cup of water in my name, I'll redeem it. Wow. So what if I just hold a sign that says something about Christ or about God's best? Is that good? If you're doing it in His name, God says, I will redeem that. Whatever you do in my name, just holding the light, I'll redeem that. I'll redeem it. You got to believe that. But what if I don't see it? Oh, God has a much bigger picture because your plan B could be His plan A. And when you're at the lowest of the valley, it could be where God is going to do His greatest work. That's why the scripture says this, "For I know that all of this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." We have a Redeemer. In the end, how many of you believe that our Redeemer still lives? Amen? He still is alive. He's still alive. And so His role is to fix and redeem. You just hold the light. I'll do the work. You've got to believe that whatever we do in His name, God is our Redeemer. Now, it might not happen right now. It might take years. But I tell you, God has a way of redeeming. And whatever you do in His name, God will redeem because my Redeemer lives.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can
We've got to believe that God's going to redeem everything that we do for his name. And he doesn't ask us to hit people. He asks us to be truth bearers, to live our lives worthy of the gospel, to know that even in the valley lows, because our Redeemer lives, because the great physician is available, he just asks us, will you hold the light still? I'll do the work. But if we drop the light, if we don't hold it high, then how will people be inspired? Well, there's bullets whizzing by. Just hold the light. You'll be all right. I promise. And the great physician will do his work. And I want one day people to look at New Hope in this era and say, that was their finest hour. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, Our Plan B Might Be God's Plan A, by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.